Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 11 consecutive years. With 2 weeks left in 2019, we're $57,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Christians, give thanks that the Son of God came into the world to save humanity. Jesus Christ inspires us to love one another with hearts full of generosity and grace.
And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president.
Adoption is an institution that seeks to meet the needs of children. But IVF, reproductive technology, surrogacy is a market that is designed to meet the desires of adults.
I have heard people who teach seeker-driven methodology talk about the Bible in such a disparaging way that the only conclusion that you can come up with is that the Bible is an impediment to basically preaching the gospel and bringing people to faith in Christ.
Families putting up their manger scenes from the outdoor nativity store. Love, Issues, Etc.
We sing these hymns, these songs, and we enjoy them. They have a tremendous sentimental value to us, probably because Christmas is a time of family and of deep family memories. But when we sing these Christmas hymns, sometimes we carry with them some myths about them. There's the old chestnut that Martin Luther got his tunes for Christmas from tavern tunes. Are they all from England and Germany, or maybe even that Martin Luther wrote the famous Away in a Manger? You've probably heard all of those. We're going to be responding to some of those myths during this first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, December the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. John Beeker will be our guest. He's co-general editor of the new Lutheran Service book, Companion to the Hymns. And then we're going to start a conversation with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, continuing our series with him, introducing the books of the Bible today, the book of Galatians. Joining us to dispel some myths about Christmas hymns, Dr. John Beeker. He's senior assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, co-general editor of the new Lutheran Service book, Companion to the Hymns, and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Six Myths About Christmas Hymns. John, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, it's great to be here as always.
What makes a Christmas hymn a Christmas hymn?
Well, most of the hymns that we sing at Christmas were written for Christmas, you know, one way or the other. They range from, the 4th century to even the 2nd century into the 20th and 21st century. So they come from many different ages, many different countries, generally written for Christmas. I mean, one example of that would be Luther's From Heaven Above to Earth I Come in Lutheran Service Book 358, which he basically wrote for his family as a way for the children to learn the Christmas story and to kind of act it out in a contemporary sort of way in the home. It was also printed in hymnals and sung in churches eventually. Silent Night is another hymn that was written, for instance, for Christmas by a Roman Catholic priest. They had a problem in the church and the organ wouldn't work, and so it was premiered, so the story goes, on guitar and sung as a solo. It, of course, caught on and has been sung in hundreds of languages ever since. So most Christmas hymns were written for Christmas, and they carry the themes of Christmas, the shepherds and the angels and the Christ child and Mary and Joseph. And some were not written for Christmas. For instance, Joy to the World, Lutheran Service Book 387, was written by Isaac Watts, a famous 18th century English father of English hymnody, he's called, written as a paraphrase of Psalm 98. And if you take a look at Psalm 98 in the Bible, it does a very good job of that. But he also wrote it and put a superscription above it that said this is for about the end of the world. This is about Christ's coming. It's been picked up in the 19th century as a Christmas hymn, however, because of the joy and all the preparatory work of Advent and Christmas. So most were written for Christmas, but some have slipped in there from other places.
What is the difference between a Christmas hymn and Christmas carol?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Carols really came mostly out of the English tradition. The word carol comes from French and has to do with the word circle, which usually was associated with dance music. Most of the English Christmas carols were written, started at least in the 14th and 15th century. But it's not just confined to England. Also, German Leisen and Holland and Italy all had kind of spiritual songs that were sung outside of the Mass or outside of the divine service. And often on feast days, when the service was over, the people would spill out into the courtyard. We're talking Middle Ages here, late Middle Ages, and a big feast would begin, and these were the kinds of songs that they sang. They are mostly textually revolving around the scene of Christmas, but many carols have other themes as well. Now, a Christmas hymn is like a Christmas carol. A hymn almost always has a biblical theme to it. In fact, I can't think of any in our hymnal that doesn't. So they have an overlap. If you had a kind of Venn diagram, you'd have like one circle on the left overlapping with a circle on the right, and you'd have hymns on the left and secular folk song on the right, and then in the middle are things called Christmas carols, where they have mostly sacred themes, Christmas themes, but sung to kind of folk-like melodies. Some examples of that in our hymnal would be on Christmas night, the angels sang number 377, which came from Ireland from the 17th century and was collected in the 19th, early 20th century by Ralph von Williams. And an example, a German example of a Leisen, which would be the German equivalent of a carol, would be "We Praise You, Jesus, at Your Birth," Lutheran Service Book 382.
Regarding some of these myths, let's start with this one. Many believe that Martin Luther borrowed his Christmas melodies from tavern tunes popular in his day. What's the truth of the matter?
Well, it's easy to kind of show that this is not true by simply looking at the hymns that Luther wrote, because he didn't write that many. He only wrote 37. And even in English, you can figure this out by looking at volume 53 of Luther's works in the American edition. And it gives you every hymn in there in English translation and with a little historical background. And if you read through the music part of each of those little historical backgrounds, you learn that Luther borrowed a good number of his melodies from existing church music, either a chant or some other kind of extra mass music sometimes, the Leisen and that sort of thing. Or he wrote his own melodies in the style of churchly music. There's one exception, and that would be the original melody to "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," the hymn that I mentioned earlier. And he had borrowed that melody from a kind of secular garland carol of the day, something like "Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore," or something like that we might have today, and tried it out that way. But 4 years later, then he wrote his own melody in a churchly hymn, ecclesial style, and that's the one that caught on, and that's the one that we sing to this day. So there's one slight exception where he used a kind of sacred folk melody. But generally, I mean, all the rest of his hymns, like I say, were borrowed from existing church music, adapted from existing church music, or his own melodies written in an ecclesial style.
Now, there's also the often and sometimes understandably mistaken myth regarding the bar form. Some people mistake the bar form of music with bar tunes.
Yeah.
How
mm-hmm.
would you answer that one, that he was borrowing melodies just generally from bar tunes?
Right. Yeah. The word bar has two different meanings in each case. I mean, in the case of Luther, a bar form is a poetic style, A-A-B. So the first line and the second line are the same, and then there's a third line where a new melody is introduced, and sometimes it goes back to A again. That has to do with length, bar, you know, how you measure something, a bar. That has nothing to do with drinking or what you might sing in a tavern or a bar. So it's a misunderstanding of the term.
Another myth that I think is often perpetuated regarding Luther and Christmas hymns is that he wrote the hymn Away in a Manger. What's the truth there?
Yeah, that's an interesting and maybe for some slightly disturbing truth, that Away in the Manger was not written by Martin Luther. In fact, it never existed in German prior to someone taking the English and translating it back into German. The original text, at least as far as we can determine, appeared in 1884 in a Universalist magazine called The Myrtle. The magazine was edited by Elizabeth Bruce, a female Universalist minister, who was also anti-temperance, getting back to the bar motif here, the tavern motif. You know, in it, it reads something to the effect that, you know, this tune has been sung by German mothers to their children for many years. It was written by Martin Luther, and it's still sung to this day. Well, it was entirely false. You asked any German in 1884, any German mother, whether she'd ever sung this melody, she would say, nein, never heard of it. So this melody and this text really appeared, at least the text did, in 1884, first in a Universalist magazine in the United States of America.
And that's all the farther we can trace it at this point.
Yeah, there is no evidence that we're aware of, and we have done very thorough research on this. So,
had Luther written it, of course, it would likely have been included in the many hymnals that were being published at the time of the Reformation during his life.
Yeah, of course. And it's an argument from silence, but you know, were there other hymns that Luther wrote that have not survived? It's possible. It's entirely possible. But this does not appear to be one of them.
Can and should we sing Christmas hymns at other times of the year? Should they be isolated to Christmas and its season?
Well, generally so. I mean, it does feel weird to have a Christmas hymn pop up in the middle of August or something, although not exclusively so. Many of the themes of the Christmas hymns overlap with pericopes that might show up in the rest of the lectionary. I already mentioned Joy to the World as a fine paraphrase of Psalm 98. And when I served in the parish as a pastor, I would sing that from time to time at different times of the year as a paraphrase of Psalm 98. Another hymn that appears in the Christmas section is God Loves Me Dearly, Lutheran Service Book 392, which is a wonderful children's hymn. And I can't imagine not singing that one at different times of the year, especially for Sunday school and at other times. And then, of course, there are times in the church year where the pericopes or the festivals have Christmas themes to them. So, for instance, in March, on March 25th, the church celebrates the Annunciation, where Mary is told by the angel Gabriel that she will conceive and give birth to a child. Of course, that's bang on Advent and Christmas. So the angel Gabriel, Lutheran Service Book 356 from the Advent section, would be a wonderful hymn to sing on that day. Or Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming, Lutheran Service Book 359. Another kind of Christmas festival that does pop up in the middle of the year is the birth of John the Baptist, which is on June 24th. And Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding, Lutheran Service Book 345, is a fine example. Or On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry, which was my favorite hymn as a kid. I love that melody.
We are talking about some myths regarding Christmas hymns. Dr. John Vicker is our guest. He's author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Six Myths About Christmas Hymns. The Lutheran Witness would make a great Christmas gift. It's available online and in print. Find out more at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. witness. Another myth we'll deal with on the other side. Christmas hymns are more sentimentally oriented and generally light on theology. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 11 consecutive years. With 2 weeks left in 2019, we're $57,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Ad Crucem offers Bible-based, Christ-focused Christmas ornaments in various sizes for church and home. Use our Jesse Tree collection to teach your children this Advent and see our new premium ornaments, a crucifixion tableau, angel and shepherds, the Holy Family, Epiphany, and much more. Visit adcrucem.com for unique and theologically sound greeting cards, jewelry, gifts, churchwares, banners, certificates, and housewares. That's adcrucem.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Stanza 2 of the Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're talking about some myths regarding Christmas hymns. Dr. John Vicker is our guest. John, here's another one, and that is that Christmas hymns are heavy on sentimentality and light on theology.
Well, I will acknowledge that they can be. I mean, there's just a lot of kind of, Christmas is a time full of intense images, and for us as human beings and as Christians, intense memories. We may have lost someone that was dear to us at Christmas, or even during that year, or years past. And at Christmas time, those memories come back of loved ones, the family. And the hymns themselves can exert or can bring on intense feelings, even sentimental feelings inside of people. And that's okay. They're full of rich imagery. I think some are more inclined in this direction, like It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, number 366 in Lutheran Service Book. That was another hymn written by this time a Unitarian, who was stressing the kind of social implications of the struggles in the 19th century of the poor. So, for instance, stanza 2, "All you beneath your heavy load, by care and guilt bent low, who toil along a dreary way, with painful steps and slow, look up, for golden is the hour, come swiftly on the wing. The prince was born to bring you peace, of him the angels sing." Most of our hymns, though, the best ones, I would say, during Christmas, are full of good theology. So, for instance, "Once in Royal David's City," Lutheran Service Book 376, was written by a future pastor's wife to explain, she wrote a whole series of hymns, to explain the Apostles' Creed, particularly the line, "conceived by the Holy Spirit," to explain it to children. She was writing this hymn for children and wrote many others for children. And I think stanza 3 is just a beautiful confession of the humanity of Christ, where she writes, "For he," that is Jesus, "is our childhood's pattern. Day by day like us he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feels for all our sadness, and he shares in all our gladness." These are the things that children can understand, and it's also a confession of the humanity of Christ for us.
Usually we associate, for some reason, Christmas hymns with their origins in Germany and England, but other than those two places, where do other Christmas hymns come from?
Well, a great number of places. I would acknowledge that most of the hymns that we sing at Christmas do come from England and Germany. The German part, of course, is because in the Missouri Synod we have historically come from German roots. And the English part, of course, is that we live in the United States of America, and we have assimilated and taken on many of the Christmas tunes and texts that have surrounded us since we got off the boat in around 1838 and 37. So, yes, most come from England and Germany, but some do not, like "Go Tell It on the Mountain" is a wonderful African-American spiritual written right here and produced right here in the United States of America. "And Now Sing We Now Rejoice," you know, that one goes back, the legend goes back to the 14th century, that it came down from the angels from heaven, which, of course, we would debate. But you have hymns from all kinds of places, like Poland and Bohemia or Slovakia, quite a number of places. I don't think we have any hymns from Africa in our Christmas collection, but we may in the next hymnal.
There are a lot of Christmas hymns. Do we need more?
Well, I guess you're asking whether there is no room in the inn for Christmas hymns. And I would say, of course there is. But it's a crowded inn at this point. I think we have something like 36 in our hymnal for technically 12 days of Christmas. And some of those might slip a little earlier into the Advent season. Is there room? Yes, I think there is. But how do you break into that tough market? People want to sing the ones they know. And they've been hearing them for a couple of months already. By the time Christmas rolls around, or even the 12 days of Christmas from December 25th to January 5th, they've had their fill. An example of a hymn that I think has broken in our hymnal, a new hymn that's simply lovely, is "Where Shepherds Lately Knelt," number 369. And this text was written by Jaroslav Vajda, kind of the hymn poet laureate of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the 20th century. And the quality of his texts are what I describe as very Vajda, that is, very warm. And this one is almost over the top. But he does a fabulous job of bringing the singer to the manger in a kind of first-person narrative. Let me read a couple stanzas. "Where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word, I come in half-belief, a pilgrim strangely stirred. But there is room and welcome there for me. But there is room and welcome there for me. In that unlikely place I find him, as they said. Sweet newborn babe, how frail, and in a manger bed. A still small voice to cry one day for me. A still small voice to cry one day for me. This is so beautiful here, where he weaves in the voice of the baby Jesus crying in the manger and links it to the cry of Golgotha, where he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For me. And then he weaves in Isaiah. How should I not have known Isaiah would be there? His prophecies fulfilled, with pounding heart I stare. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. A child, a son, the Prince of Peace for me. Each of his stanzas ends with the words, for me. Then he concludes, can I, will I forget how love was born and burned its way into my heart? Unasked, unforced, unearned. To die, to live, and not alone for me. To die, to live, and not alone for me. I just love those lines, unasked, unforced, unearned. How Lutheran could you get with those lines? And then he does a kind of switch. Normally you would say to live and to die, but he says to die, to live. He brings it to Easter. And not alone for me, but for all. That Easter is the declaration of the forgiveness of sins for all humanity. To die, to live, and not alone for me. This is a, I would say, almost perfect wedding of text and tune, tuned by Carl Schoch. I love singing it at Christmas, and I think it's, whether it will survive, I don't know, but it has done great things for me.
Recently, Pastor Will Wheaton mentioned to me a Christmas hymn based on a poem by Richard Wilbur, And Every Stone Shall Cry, appearing, I think, in the ELCA hymnal, the one from the 1980s. How do we get back Christmas hymns like this back into circulation and back into the hands of congregations?
Yeah, I looked that hymn up. That's, I think, first appeared in the Episcopal hymnal of 1982. And the text is by Richard Wilbur, who died just a couple of years ago. He wrote it in 1958 for a Christmas program. He was an English professor at Harvard and then later most of his career at Wellesley. And the tune was written by an African-American Episcopal composer, David Hurd, who served for many years in New York City and is still active in producing. This hymn has appeared in our own hymnal supplement 98, in number 810. It's called A Stable Lamp is Lighted. So it is in circulation in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, at least through the hymnal supplement. It faced, though, that tough market when it came time to decide which hymns would go into Lutheran Service Book, and this was one that, one of about 20, I think, that didn't make it out of the hymnal supplement. So it's a great text, 20th century text. Like I say, the Christmas hymn market is very tight, and is there room? Well, not in Lutheran Service Book at this time for this one, but it is a great text. And there are so many. I mean, you could go back not very far, you know, into the 19th century, back into even the 14th and 15th century. So many hymn texts that have been left behind that are perfectly great texts and sometimes many great melodies to go with them. But there's only so much room in the inn.
Finally, you are the co-general editor of the Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns. What can you tell us about this new massive resource from Concordia Publishing House?
This project was begun in 2008. That was 2 years after the hymnal came out in 2006. And it was designed to be the commentary on the hymn portion of the hymnal. And at that time, Peter Reske and I were appointed as editors by the Commission on Worship to begin that project, which we did. We hired all of the writers and got most of the manuscripts in and began to edit those. And then in 2010, I was unable to continue with my new job working in the president's office. So Joseph Hurl was brought on board to take the lead on the development side, and then Peter on the production side at CPH. And I will have to say, Joe is a walking encyclopedia of hymnody, and he has made this volume so much better than it would have been if I'd stayed on as the lead editor. He is a fabulous scholar and theologian, and I was just thrilled to see that it came out. It is comprehensive in the sense that it is the first companion that has gone back to the first printing of every hymn in the book, at least as far back as we have printings. Obviously, in the Latin and Greek, there are no first printings, but or not to mention the Old Testament, New Testament. But we have gone back to the first printing. We found a number of mistakes that were just passed on from one commentary to the next because that's what the previous guy discovered or thought he had discovered. So this is a wonderful resource. It's going to make its mark, and I hope it will be a blessing for people. It has a wonderful commentary on each hymn in the text, kind of a text reading, where each writer of the hymn essay gives a kind of Lutheran reading of that hymn and what is it saying and how does it confess the scriptures. And that will be very important and helpful to pastors and teachers and musicians as they prepare Bible studies and devotions and teach about the church's song.
Find out more about Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns at issuesetc.org, click Talk On Demand Archives, or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns. Dr. John Vicker is Senior Assistant to the President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Co-General Editor of the new Lutheran Service Book Companion to the Hymns, and author of a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Six Myths About Christmas Hymns. John, thank you very much.
And blessed Adventtide and Christmas to you and your crew.
Our series, Introducing the Books of the Bible, continues after this. We'll be getting into Galatians with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 2 through 7, purchase the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Angel, Angel, What Do You See? Follow Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the innkeeper, and the shepherds to discover that this special baby is the Savior, born for you and me. Learn more about Angel, Angel, What Do You See? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Angel, Angel, What Do You See?
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the bread with no expiration date, the words of eternal life, Jesus' brothers disbelieve, Jesus' teaching is from the Father, and can this be the Christ? Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. At thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.